to take your marriage, family, and personal life to the next level.
Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Today on Word of Life, feeling used. No one likes to feel used, but people often treat us as objects, projects, and means to their ends. Today we'll explore how to recover our dignity and destiny as persons. Stick around.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day. Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want for him. Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life. God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Folks, you're listening to More to Life, the show that explores living a more joyful and abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, feeling used. We're talking about those times when we feel like people are taking advantage of us, using us in some way, taking us for granted. The reality is, you know, no one likes to feel used, but very often we are treated as objects or projects or means to someone else's ends. And so today we're going to look at how to recover our dignity and our destiny as persons, especially in those relationships where we feel like people are trying to use us in some way or another. And this, you know, this topic is taken directly out of the heart of theology of the body. In Love and Responsibility, which is the book that Pope St. John Paul the Great wrote when he was still Archbishop of Krakow, Karol Wojtyła, and it's sort of the precursor to the theology of the body. And he talks in there about how the opposite of love isn't hate. You know, most of us think that when you hate somebody, you're doing the opposite of loving them. But really, the opposite of love, according to Pope St. John Paul II, is use. You know, when we love someone, we treat them as a person, and we work to help them become a better person, a more fulfilled person, a more complete person. But when we use somebody, we turn them into a thing, an object, and we see them not as a person, but as a means to an end. We see them as a thing that we can treat and dispose of as we see fit. You know, the theology of the body tends to focus on this idea of love versus use, especially as it relates to sexual relationships.
Yes, and we often hear about that aspect of it both in the faith-filled world and the secular world. This idea of, you know, being used in that way is often the only way we really hear about it.
But there are lots of different ways that we unintentionally and sometimes intentionally use each other, whether that has to do with seeing somebody, you know, calling someone who, you know, only when you need something from them, for example.
We all have people who do that. But we can do it just by falling into certain roles with each other. You know, your role as mother or father, and your kids begin to see you as the stuff you do as mom and dad. You know, oh, you pick me up from school, you make my dinner, you wash my clothes, you are, you know,
the
no more. You know, more than the car or the washing machine or the oven. You're just as much a tool. You do those things for me, and they don't stop and say, "How was your day, Dad? You know, what's going on in your life, Mom? Hey, I really want to appreciate how you are as a person." And we begin to feel that sense of use. It begins to take the joy and the passion out of what we do all day for our kids.
Well, husbands and wives do it to each other all the time in terms of, you know, just sort of taking each other for granted. The things that they do around the house for each other, or the acts of service that they perform for each other, we tend to assume that, of course, you're going to do those things. That's just your job. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And we forget that each of those things is really a gift that that person is giving us. You know, another example, you know, somebody that we care about deeply and we want them to, we want to share their faith with them, right? But we, then we turn them into a project where I'm going to evangelize you and turn you into what I want you to be, instead of really respecting them as a person on a journey. And that I can invite them into fuller communion with the church, and I can invite them to share my faith by sharing my example. But you know, I can't. I have to respect where they're at too.
It can't be all about I'll love you even more when you become a Christian,
or I'll love you only.
Yeah, or when you reach this point in your faith life, and we can often do that thinking we're working so hard for their good, and then turning them into an object instead of the person that they are.
So obviously this is a little tricky, you know. So we're going to ask you to call up and share, when are you most likely to feel used or taken for granted or taken advantage of? Let's talk about ways to respectfully and charitably set boundaries in those times. And let's talk through it so that you can, you know, hopefully save those relationships and turn those relationships where they're that are characterized by use into relationships that really affirm both you and the other person's personhood, and help both of you feel loved and affirmed and treated with the dignity that you deserve as children of God. 877-573-7825 is the toll-free number you can call to join the conversation. You can also post your comments at facebook.com/moretolifradio. And, of course, this week, in celebration of the release of my brand-new book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, we are doing a book drawing every day on More to Life, where every day we are giving away a copy of Broken Gods by the end of the program to one lucky listener who has responded to our question of the day, either by calling in or posting at facebook.com/moretolifradio. And Broken Gods, in case you're wondering, is a book that really helps you discover the divine longings that drive our deepest and even darkest desires, and how those longings reveal God's plan for our ultimate fulfillment. You know, especially if you're tired of giving into the guilt and frustration that comes with making the same mistakes over and over and over again, this book is going to help you allow God's grace to transform the parts of yourself you like the least into the source of your perfection in Christ. So that's Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. It's available in stores June 2nd, but you can get it today by winning our Book of the Day drawing. All you got to do is respond to our question of the day by calling in at 877-573-7825 or posting at facebook.com/moretolifradio. And again, we're asking you, when are you most likely to feel used or taken for granted or taken advantage of by somebody in your life? And how do you respond then? What do you do when people try to take advantage of you? Do you just, you know, kind of take it on the chin and go through with it anyway?
Do you melt down and feel really depressed and upset about it all and just feel like you can't do it anymore because nobody really appreciates you for who you are?
Do you try to convince them to stop, and then when they don't stop, you try to convince them a little bit harder, and you just keep saying things over and over again, and they don't listen, and you feel stuck and powerless?
Do you get really angry and really pitch a fit? I remember Greg's mom, he always tells the story, Greg's mom once fell into what I call the after-school special of mothering, where during our childhood, there was this whole rash of TV shows where moms would go on strike on, like, situation comedies and family dramas. And Greg's mom got so fed up one day that she did. She went
did go
on strike.
Yeah.
Because she did. She felt like everybody was treating her as an object instead of a person, and she wasn't being appreciated.
She made a little sign.
She made a sign. Because that's what they did on TV.
She didn't pick it, but she sat in the living room and she had a little sign. She was on strike.
That's a riot.
Yeah, you know,
I'm wondering how effective it was.
Yeah,
and
not
the
terrifically
thing.
Effective.
Not everything we try to do to stop feeling objectified works. And we'll talk about what can and what can't here on More to Life today.
That's right. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord in the name of the Father, and of
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you and praise you for treating us and making us persons, for giving us your dignity by making us in your image and likeness. And Lord, help us to remember who we really are, that we are persons who deserve to be loved and who have a God-given right to only be in those relationships with people who are committed to working for our good and who want us to work for their good as well. But Lord, we are all broken and we are all struggling and sinful people, and so there are times when we give into the temptation to use one another. And in those times, help us, Lord, to remember that we are persons and that the people we're in relationship are persons, and help us to transform those relationships so that they can reflect our dignity as sons and daughters of God. Help us always be committed to helping each other become everything that you created us to be in this life, and helping each other get to heaven in the next as well. Help us always love each other as the persons we are, the sons and daughters of God that you made us to be, so that we can reveal your glory by celebrating the dignity of your creation. We ask all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us, and Our Lady of Fatima on this feast day, and Our Lady of the Eucharist, pray for us. It is Mary's feast day under both of those titles today, so lots of grace is abounding.
Of course, the month of May is Mary's month as well.
Exactly.
All right, well, we are talking with you today about those times when you feel used. You know, no one likes to feel used, but people often do treat us as objects, or as projects, or as a means to their ends. So today we're exploring how to recover our dignity and hopefully transform those relationships so that we can experience the grace that God gives us, that reminds us that we are made in His image and likeness and are persons deserving of love. Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825.
Right now, Greg, we're going to talk with Lily in Lake Orion, Michigan on 990 WDEOAM.
Hey there, Lily. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi, thank you. My concern about being used is on holidays, my sister-in-laws, they don't offer to do any of the holiday parties, and then we end up doing them.
So you're getting stuck with all of it, buying all the food, doing all the cooking, the expense and the work, and nobody's offering to do anything. Have you talked to them about it? Where is this all?
Well, having them, you know, like at people's homes, like taking turns, you know how families do that. And I don't know, they just don't, no one seems to offer up their place to want to have it. I mean, they'll bring a dish, but it's nice to have it at somebody else's house sometimes.
Yeah, to get stuck doing it all the time and feel like you're the one who has to do it, it's all falling to you, can be difficult. Have you ever said to them, hey, who's going to do it next year, that kind of thing, or no?
No, I haven't.
You're going to have to be that direct about it if you want someone else to do it. Because, you know, there are just some times when people aren't really that keen on doing it, or maybe they're not that confident in their ability to do it.
Or they think it's wonderful there, and it's sort of become a tradition, and they don't want to take it from you, or they all have wonderful memories. It could be a very negative thing where they're just taking you for granted. It can be a very positive thing that it's... So, for example, we had a dear friend who always hosted an autumn get-together in her basement for all the kids until it got so many kids that we couldn't fit it anymore. And none of us would have ever said, oh, let me have a turn, you know, doing it next year, because it was such great memories and it was something we all did together and it was a tradition. So they may just be, you know, saying, this is our thing, this is what we do, in a very positive way, but you're not going to know unless you talk about it.
Yeah, so I think that your best bet is just to come right out and say, hey, listen, you know, this year I'm not able to really do this, so, you know, who else would like to host the family get-together for Christmas or Easter or whatever it is? And just kind of don't pick it up. Now, the thing is, you need to keep in mind, sometimes, you know, we host these things because we like the way we do it, you know, and then we give up control of it, and it either doesn't happen or it doesn't happen the way we like, and we have to deal with that, you know. So you kind of have to make your decision here up front. You know, do you like the way you do it enough to want to keep doing it, even though there's a part of you that wishes other people would do it too, or are you willing to give this up and face the likelihood that, that it either may not happen or may not happen the way you'd like it to. And if that's, you know, and if you can live with either of those options, then by all means say, look, I can't do it this year. I'm going to need somebody else to pick it up. And then, you know, if they don't do it, then they can learn from that, that in the future years that they're going to have to do it. Or if they don't do it the way you'd like it, then, you know, you'll have to make your peace with that. But that, you know, but if you're really serious about not being the one to host it all the time, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take you just coming out and saying, yeah, I'm afraid I can't do it this year. I need one of you guys to pick it up.
And I think that's what it comes down to, Lily, is really going to prayer and saying, Lord, why am I feeling just burdened by this? You know, what do I need to change that will help me have joy in this? Is it that I need, you know, people to really bring more to this? You know, not just a covered dish, but somebody sends out the invitations, somebody's assigned to cleaning it up, or more enthusiasm on their part? Or is it just that I just feel like I'm the only one who cares? And do I need to get somebody to take this on? But then what, Lord? You know, if it all falls apart, what do I do? And really take it to prayer to see what it is you're going to need from this to feel really good about it, since it's a little bit of a gamble asking other people to take it up for you.
All right, Lily, thanks so much for the call, and I hope that that gives you something to pray about at least, and a way forward with this. Now that we've sort of clarified your options at this point and what it would take to make a change in the situation. God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. We're talking with you today about those times when you feel used or taken advantage of, or, you know, just treated kind of as an object in some way, you know, seen as a means to an end. Nobody likes those times when we feel used, but it happens often enough where people either just think, oh, well, you know, they'll take care of that. I don't have to worry about it.
Yes, they always do.
You know, or they see us as just sort of a tool, you know, or a vending machine that that they can use to get stuff out of, but they forget that we're persons. And, you know, part of this there's a challenge here because, you know, in the theology of the body especially, it talks about the importance of giving of ourselves to others. And in fact, it really builds on the idea that we figure out who we really are. We discover who we really are, our identity in Christ, by making a gift of ourselves to others. But sometimes that can open us up to being taken advantage of, to being treated as a vending machine, because, you know, we're doing these things to try to be generous to others. We're doing these things to try to give service to other people. And sometimes they forget that we're people too, you know. And that's, by the way, where boundaries and limits come in. You know, when we set boundaries with people, sometimes we feel like we're being mean. And of course, I guess sometimes we can be mean in setting boundaries, so you have to be careful about it. But if you're doing it from the right place, setting boundaries and limits in your relationships are a way of giving service that still protects your personhood.
Mm.
Right? It reminds people that, you know, I want to be generous to you, and I can be generous to you, but I'm a person, not a tool. I'm a person, not a machine, not a factory that produces good stuff for you.
Or not just a label you put on me of, you know, employee, mom, dad, sister, friend, whatever it is that you're defining me as, and you're not really getting to the heart of who I am.
And so when someone we serve and love is treating us as that tool or that vending machine or that object, it's important to set some loving and charitable boundaries. Not so that we can be mean to them, not so that we can take away the things we do, but so that we can say, I'm a person, you know, and I need you to remember that. I love to serve you. I love to give of what I have to you. I love to use what God has given me to bless you. But I'm a person, and I deserve to be recognized as that person because we're both sons and daughters of God, and we have a right to be recognized for that. We'll talk more about, you know, how this whole idea of self-donation fits in with the dignity of our personhood as we continue to talk about those times when you might be feeling a little used, taken advantage of, or taken for granted. Give us a call at 877-573-5255. 7825. Or you can post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. And remember today, everybody who responds to our question of the day gets their name entered into our Book of the Day drawing. And it's a Book of the Day instead of a Book of the Week, because this week we're celebrating the upcoming release of my brand new title, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. It's a book I did for Random House that looks at the divine longings that drive our deepest and even darkest desires, and how those longings reveal God's plan for our ultimate fulfillment. That book can be yours. All you got to do is respond to our question of the day by calling in or on Facebook. Well, when we come back, we're going to offer some additional tips for how to respond charitably and effectively in those times when we are, you know, when people are trying to use us or take advantage of us. But we're going to be joined by Mary Beth Bonacci, who is the author of Real Love and several other books, and she is going to talk to us today about, well, the importance of being intentional in all of our relationships. Stick around for that and a whole lot more coming up right after the break.
What kind of miracles take place in Lourdes? The most talked about are physical, the most frequent are spiritual. Tune in this weekend. Our guest will be Father Gerald Murray, a canon lawyer who has been a chaplain to 13 Lourdes pilgrimages. What has he witnessed in those journeys? I'm Peggy Stanton. Please join us this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Emmaus Health is a Catholic primary care practice conveniently located just off U.S. 23 in the Domino Farms office complex. Our mission is based on the understanding that every person is made in the image and likeness of God. We are accepting new patients of all ages. Call 734-930-4020 or visit our website at emmaushealth.org to learn more or to book an appointment. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church, but have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, read our popular Q&A columns, and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan Catholic. Talk to your pastor or call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Have a First Communion or a confirmation coming up in your family or circle of friends? Our Lady of Grace bookstore has a beautiful selection of gifts to help them celebrate these special sacraments and strengthen their life in Christ. And don't forget the graduates on your list. Choose from inspirational books, videos, jewelry, and a new selection of contemporary Christian music CDs. We're located in Ann Arbor at US 23 and M14, inside Domino's Farms Office Park at Lobby C. Visit us at OurLadyOfGraceBookstore.com or Facebook for hours and directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, feeling used? You know, are there situations where you feel like people are taking advantage of you, taking you for granted, or for that matter, outright using you? You know, we all want to be generous. We all want to be loving and to serve the people in our life. But sometimes that sets us up to be taken advantage of. And we want to talk about how to reclaim our identity as persons instead of vending machines or tools or the means to someone else's ends. Give us a call and talk about those times when you feel a little taken advantage of, used, or taken for granted, and let's talk about how to handle those situations with grace and how to deal with them effectively so that you can, you know, heal those relationships and rediscover your dignity as a person. 877-573-7825 is the toll-free number you can call to join the conversation. Or go to facebook.com/more2liferadio to post your comments. Joining us right now, Mary Beth Bonacci. She is the author of Real Love and several other books as well. She's long-term ministry, and she's back with us on More to Life here. Mary Beth, welcome.
Oh, so good to be here.
Good to have you back with us. Well, you know, you wrote an article for the Catholic Match Institute that Lisa and I just thought was terrific. And, well, tell us the story about this guy that was really kind of leading this young woman on.
I was in a meeting, and before the meeting started, I heard several of us talking, and one of the guys was complaining that his girlfriend was mad at him because I think he didn't tell her that he was leaving town or something. And we were all kind of saying, well, you know, don't you think that maybe you should have let her know? He's like, well, you know, she's not a keeper. She's just a keeper around her.
Oh God.
It just stabbed me in the heart right now.
Ouch. She's not a keeper. She's just a keeper around her.
If that doesn't define this idea of putting a label on somebody and saying, this is how I'm going to use this person, and it's not remotely edifying, that's
agonizing. You're just here for my, and I said, you know, the first question that sprung to my mind, I said, well, does she know this? And he said, well, why do I have to specify it? I said, well, because the default is the other way.
we need to assume that we're a keeper, right? If I'm a person, I'm a keeper.
Exactly. And if I'm hanging out in a relationship, I'm doing it because I think there's maybe some kind of future.
Yes.
You're saying you know dang well there's no future, but, you know, she's handy to have around.
Wow.
So you know, it seems to me that especially in dating relationships, but in all relationships, really, there's this constant temptation to see someone not so much as a keeper, but a keeper around her. What do we need to keep in mind to not treat people that way or not allow ourselves to be treated that way, for that matter?
I think the first step is to not treat people that way, because there's so many subtle ways that it happens that we don't even realize. My other great story is my day job now, I sell real estate, but before I was selling real estate, I had a friend who was a real estate agent and a very devout Catholic. But she was, there's a popular kind of school of marketing in the real estate world. There's a speaker who speaks on it, and his big thing is, you very intentionally keep in touch with people. You do pop buys, where you pop by their house and give them a gift. And you're on a schedule. You do all this stuff. You pop by, you do this, you do that. So this friend of mine suddenly starts showing up at my door once a month with a present. And I know it's to build real estate, but, oh, well, thank you very much. Well, so then I decided to start selling real estate, and immediately all the calls, all the pop buys, all the gifts, everything stopped. And certainly it's not a case of, you know, I was entitled to those gifts or something, but it was so obvious to me that was not coming from a place of I want to give to you out of my friendship, but I'm trying to manipulate you.
I'm greasing the wheels.
I'm using you as a possible client or referral in the future.
Exactly.
I'm maintaining the machine. Yeah.
You are a thing. You are not an actual relationship to me. I'm doing this for business purposes only.
And
yeah.
Business, seeing people as means to ends, is so endemic. It's so constant. Is it? I could get business for you, hence I'm doing this. So I'm very intentional in my efforts that I have lists of people that I like to see regularly. I include people who are real estate agents, people whose husbands are real estate agents, people I have no hope of ever getting business from in my life, but I do it because I like them and they're people and they're my friends and they're important in my life, and not because there's anything I can get from them in the end. And I think that kind of mentality is in every area of life. Be nice to them, think you can get this from them. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be wealthy and to have people sucking up to you all day long because they want donations to their cause. We just, as Christians, we should be better than this.
Yeah, well, you know, I was sharing with you over the break, the two words I hate in business, especially the most, are human resource. You know, I'm not a human resource. I'm a human being, for heaven's sake. I don't want to be mined. I don't want to be fracked. I want to be a real person.
Let's frack Poshuk.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
It really does.
I mean, you know, I have as much gas as everybody else, but nobody wants to.
Oh, dear.
Gosh.
Oh, dear, this is going
fracking Poshuk.
Moving right along now.
It's not something that we don't want people taking from us all the time and never giving, never seeing us for who we are. And yet it does pose a problem. Who do we trust? How do we get to be known as a human being instead of somebody that's just used for something in particular? It's a really heart-rending kind of situation that we all deal with.
It is, and it's sad that because of original sin in the world, we can't just be as open. I think people tend to project onto other people what they themselves would do. So those of us who try not to use, who try to be sincere, can often project that others will treat us the same, and then we're devastated when it doesn't happen that way.
So here's a question. Yeah. I mean, when it's obvious to us that other people are taking advantage or using us, what do we need to do? I mean, is it okay to set limits in those situations?
It's absolutely. I think it's not only okay. I think it's mandatory in the sense that love one another. We need to love ourselves, and love ourselves isn't that kind of I love me, so I get all the pie. But certainly recognizing the image and likeness of God in ourselves means standing up not only for our good, but for the good of the other person. And
well, I like pie, too, but I agree with you about that part. But as far as that goes, I mean, I think that you know, when we let other people take advantage of us, we're not really being loving to them either. You know,
exactly.
Because they're not just degrading me, they're degrading themselves. And mm-hmm. you know, I've had to put some obstacle up to that if I'm going to love them. You know, to love them is to work for their good. And I can't be working for their good if I'm just kind of lying back and letting them take advantage of me.
Exactly, and so many think that is kind of the Christian long-suffering way of, I'll just offer it up, but it's really, it's not. It's not what's best for us. It's also not what's best for them. And if we have a chance at correcting them, then it's not only for their sake, but for the sake of all those that they would use in the future.
Well, and you know, that brings us back to the story that you started with, where here's this guy in a business meeting who doesn't even bother to let his girlfriend know that he's going away. And he says, oh, why should I have to let her know? She's not a keeper. She's just a keeper around her. If a person who heard that, whether it was you or someone else in the room, said, wow, you know, that's just really making me uncomfortable. She's a human being who deserves your respect, and do you really think that you deserve so little respect that you should just have placeholders in your life? A light bulb could actually go on for that guy. I mean, you wouldn't just be working for the good of that woman who's being used in this way, but for this guy who thinks so little of himself that as long as he just has people to pass time with, so he's, you know, not lonely and has somebody on his arm, he's settling for way too less as well. And when we look past the idea of objectifying people and begin to teach that in little things we say, we can really change the whole culture little by little.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, yeah, thinking back, I should have had the foresight. But yeah.
It was too shocking.
What I said, I did defend her. What I said was, does she know this? She needs to know this. If she's just a keeper around her, if you have no interest in the future with her, she needs to know this. I never did hear what happened to the relationship.
I'm sure it didn't end well. But Mary Beth, you are a keeper for more to life, and so we thank you for being with us today.
I'm glad I'm not just a keeper around her.
No, and if folks would like to learn more about your ministry and your good work, where can they turn for more information?
They can turn to reallove.net, and we've been having technical difficulties lately, so if they get nothing, come back, because
it's still there.
It's been consistently up,
and
it will be, yes.
reallove.net. Check it out, folks. Mary Beth Menachie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg and Lisa.
God bless. All right, folks, we're talking with you about those times when you feel used, those times when you're feeling a little taken advantage of, taken for granted, those times when, you know, you're really trying to be generous, to serve others, to be loving, but somehow it's not having the effect that you'd like it to have. And in fact, maybe it's making things worse because they're treating you poorly. They're making, you know, poor choices off the things that you're giving them, and they're acting like you're just a big old vending machine, that you don't have a right to be treated as a person. Well, let's talk about those times, how to deal with those effectively so that you can hopefully heal those relationships, transform that dynamic, and rediscover your dignity as a person. 877-573-7825. Call up and share, or post your comments at facebook.com/moretolife radio. And remember, everybody who calls in today or posts at Facebook gets their name entered into our Book of the Day drawing. This week, every day, we're giving away a copy of my brand new book, Broken Gods: Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. So when we come back, more tips for dealing with those situations where you're feeling used, plus more of your calls and some great ideas for rediscovering your dignity as a person. Coming up on More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck and you right after the break.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor. To celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady has asked us to pray the rosary daily and calls us to participate in heaven's plan for peace so that we can undo the works of Satan. The rosary is our greatest weapon. Use it. If you want to be a day sponsor and or want to say a message for a loved one or friend, call 877-288-1077.
This program is made possible in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, dedicated to helping grow businesses for a strong community of faith and Christian values. CatholicBusinessPages.com is your online directory resource for connecting you with businesses that have taken a strong stand to support those values that impact our lives. If Christian principles make a difference in your life, then CatholicBusinessPages.com will link you to business professionals who care about the values of our nation. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. It's a sure thing that your spouse will hurt or offend you at some point, even if you're both committed to loving for life. To keep these little incidents from wreaking havoc on your marriage, try to always assume your spouse is doing the best he can. Instead of going into fight mode or jumping into the victimized or upset pool, try approaching him in one of these three ways. First, adopt an attitude of concern. Think to yourself, my husband isn't usually like this. I wonder if something is wrong. Second, try to be helpful in his time of frustration. What could you do to help or soothe him? If all else fails, take the direct route, but do it lovingly. Say something like, I love you, but when you did that, it hurt. What were you trying to do? If you assume that he's doing the best he can and take a merciful attitude, you are already on your way to an exceptional marriage. For more ideas on improving your marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Folks, you are listening to More to Life. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about those times when you feel used, taken advantage of, taken for granted. You know, we are all persons. The theology of the body reminds us that we have a right to be loved and treated as persons, not used as things. And yet, so often, in exchange for the service that we give others, we are treated as vending machines or objects or means to an end. How do we deal with those situations gracefully? That's what we're talking about today on More to Life. And we'd love for you to join the conversation by calling 877-573-7825 and sharing a little bit about those times when you feel a little taken for granted or taken advantage of and how you're responding to that now. Is it working for you? Is it not? Can we help you find some more graceful and efficient ways to respond to those challenging situations where people are using you as an object rather than treating you as the person you deserve to be? 877-573-7825. Let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking with Christine, who's calling from Oregon.
Hey there, Christine. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you today?
Yes, thank you.
Sure.
I'm really baffled at what could be going on with a person who defends and makes excuses for this kind of behavior, particularly in a wife.
Okay. So are we talking about somebody in particular here or just in general?
Someone in particular. No, this is a family member.
Okay, so there's a family member that's being treated poorly by their spouse, and she's just constantly making excuses for her husband.
No, he's making excuses for her.
Excuse me. So he's making excuses for her, and you're trying to get him to see, you know, that he deserves more, but he won't listen to you.
Part of the time, yes. Part of the time, but then it's almost like it's not kind of getting through. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's becoming the norm. You know, sometimes you get treated that for so long that it becomes normal. You think, well, this is kind of normal.
Well, that is true. I mean, we do become accommodated to poor treatment. But often that accommodation begins long before this current relationship that I'm in started. You know, we talk a lot on the program about different attachment styles, and what you're describing right now is something called an anxious attachment style. And that's where I grew up in a family of origin where you know, I got my needs met, sort of, but I had to work really hard to get them met. I had to cry a little. I had to cry longer. I had to ask more often. I had to twist myself into knots to get the attention, the affirmation, the love, the whatever that I needed. You know, I got it, but I got the scraps from the table, and I had to do my little dance to get it all the time. What happens then is that that pattern becomes ingrained in me, and just unconsciously, in every relationship I go into from that point forward, I automatically think that everything is my fault, that everything is my job to make it work, and if something isn't working in the relationship, it's because I haven't found the right buttons to push, the right dance to do, the right shape to twist myself into. And even if I consciously know that that's not my fault and it's not my responsibility, I still feel this deep sense that it's my job to figure out the buttons to push to get the Scooby snack that I need. And so just telling me that it's not my fault and it's not my responsibility and that I deserve to be treated more than it doesn't really sink in. And really what I need is to be in relationships with people who treat me with the dignity that I deserve to be treated with. And over time, you know, as I'm pleasantly surprised by other people affirming that dignity and reminding me of what I'm really worth to them, I start to kind of catch on that, oh, you know, I don't have to settle for this. But you know, if I don't have enough of those kinds of people in my life who are building me up in that way and reminding me of what I'm really worth, then it can be very difficult. And I constantly fall into that trap where I'm making excuses for the people who treat me poorly. You know, one of the things about, you know, being a Christian is that you know, but in our prayer life, God constantly brings us back to reminding us of who we are in His eyes and how much we're worth to Him. And it helps to heal some of those broken attachment styles. And it helps us to remember that we are His sons and daughters first and most. And it helps us over time learn that it isn't our job to, you know, to try to make everything right. That we can only, you know, do what we can to invite others to love us and to love them as fully as we can. But ultimately, you know, it's God's job, you know, to save things that are beyond our ability to save. The person with that anxious attachment style doesn't know that boundary, and they really feel like, you know, it's their job to save the world. And so the lesson for all the rest of us, Christine, is that it's so important to really treat other people with the dignity they deserve, even if they don't recognize how much dignity they deserve, because we are calling them to become everything that God created them to be and reminding them of who they really are.
And often, it's our place to say, then how can I ramp up my treatment of this person when I am talking to them? And it can be things as simple as I'll call them a little bit more frequently. When I'm with them, I'll make eye contact with them so they know I'm really listening.
I'll point out things that I like about them.
I was about to say that, especially in front of that person that we feel isn't treating them as well as they should be. So to drop those little seeds that can begin to germinate because they've never had anybody who really treats them that way, recognizes those things in them, or recognizes them as the person who deserves respect that they are.
And the flip side of that, too, is that, you know, we all have people in our life who we say, oh, well, they don't mind doing that extra stuff, or they don't mind, we can just dump that on them because they'll never say no to us. You know, what we're really doing is we're feeding into that childhood wound. And really affirming to them that, yeah, that is their fault and it is their responsibility to save the world. And you know, it's more than just taking a little advantage. It's really pouring acid in a very deep wound, and we need to take responsibility for that and really see what we're doing in those situations as well. Christine, thanks for the call, and thanks for the opportunity to remind folks of the importance of really attending to the whole body of Christ and reminding everybody of their dignity.
Yes, and Peggy, Lisa, you were right on, because this is a very hard father-son relationship.
Yeah.
Up until this date, and maybe that's...
I think we lost you. I'm sorry, Christine. That wasn't on purpose. I apologize.
No, I think
somehow
she might have even hit a button, because when we hear that kind of click, it's usually
on
that
side. But it's very affirming of what she's saying. Parents, that we talk about attachment a lot on the program, people kind of roll their eyes about it, but it's so critical, and you just don't understand how deeply this stuff affects people. Bars and Tearaway talked about the unaffirmed person, healing the unaffirmed. That's what we're really, that's all their work is the foundation for this attachment stuff that we talk about. The unaffirmed person who, with this anxious attachment style, believes that the world's problems are their fault. And where do you learn that? You learn that from having these hard relationships with mom and dad, where I have to twist myself into all kinds of knots to get their approval and to get their affection, their affirmation, and my needs met. And if I have to justify myself to my parents, I'm going to spend the rest of my life justifying myself to everybody else in my life. Very, very sad stuff. You can be healed of that. You can be healed of that. And if you're recognizing yourself in the description that I'm making here and what we were just talking about with Christine, reach out for the help that you need to leave that behind, because you deserve more. With that, let's go to Kathy in San Angelo, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Kathy, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you.
I'm going to
tell you up front that I'm probably going to just have to give you my scenario and then hang up.
Okay.
But I think maybe it might could help someone else. Mm-hmm. I have several family members that from one time to another have needed a large loan. Mm-hmm. And I've made that loan because I wanted to, because each time I felt like it could better them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay me back a little bit, and then they just quit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm left with loans I didn't, or maybe not loans, but, well, credit card bills that I didn't intend to have. Just different things that it just mm-hmm. put me in an uncomfortable position.
Sure.
And I love these people. That's the reason I did this for them, but... I don't understand why.
But they took advantage.
I'm just left like this. So.
Yeah. Let me throw out a couple of ideas here on this. And Kathy, I want to thank you for having such a generous heart. But there are two things that I think are important to kind of keep in mind. And the first one is, and it's the rule that I have, it's that I never loan anybody anything. If I can give it to them, I'll give it to them. If I can't, I won't. Because inevitably you end up in this situation. People often get themselves into these financial binds because of the poor choices that they made in the first place and then not being terrifically responsible. So, if they're going to do that, I can't necessarily count on them to give it back to me. So if I'm going to make that loan, I'm going to make it because I know they need it and I can afford to give it, and I'm not going to...
You're going to make it
and
a
it's
gift.
Gone. It's a gift, right? Okay. But not a loan. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But beyond that, the other thing you need to remember is that we should always be ready to help other people and work hard to help other people, but it's important not to work harder on other people's problems than they are. And sometimes we end up doing that. Sometimes we'll see somebody who has a need, and our hearts break for them, and that's a good thing. But we have to sort of step back and really pray about it and ask ourselves, is this person really doing everything they can do to respond to this, and they just need a little extra boost from us? Because we can give that little extra boost, but if we end up working harder on their problem than they are, or responding more completely to their issue than they are, then weirdly enough, they come to see it as our issue, and they don't feel like they owe us anything back. They just needed to do that for some reason. It's this weird sort of psychological game we play with ourselves. And so those are two things that you need to keep in mind that will prevent you from feeling used in the future. Don't give it unless you can give it as a gift, and don't give it at all unless you genuinely feel like they are working as hard as they can to address that issue, and then you can give them the extra little boost that they need to make it the rest of the way. But otherwise, it ends up doing more harm than good. And there's a principle here in Catholic social teaching called subsidiarity. And that's the idea that the person who's closest to the problem has the greatest responsibility for the problem. And that doesn't mean other people can't help, but it just means that you need to make sure that the people who are closest to the problem are doing their bit first, and then you come in and offer whatever additional assistance you can. Because otherwise it creates this kind of a codependent situation where the people who are closest to the problem don't take responsibility for their stuff, and other people kind of come in, and then it ends up getting worse because those people never learn to do what they need to do, and the whole system kind of falls apart. So, you know, you have a really generous heart, and I think your heart's in the right place, but I think that it's just important to take some time to really pray and discern, you know, when is it okay to give, and, you know, what are those circumstances when sometimes the gift might actually do more harm for you and for them. Kathy, I told you we'll go with that, but thank you so much for the call. Thank you for your generosity, and please know that God certainly appreciates your willingness to share your gifts with others, and I think that you'll be able to do it more wisely in the future.
And that being said, with the people who still owe you the money, it's okay to open your mouth, Kathy, and say, you know what, I was there for you when you're hurting. I'm starting to hurt a little bit here, and if you could start picking back up those payments, I really need you to do that. And just be as honest with them as you can, and pray they'll respond.
Yeah, at the same time, though, if they don't respond, you're going to need to let it go, because it'll just embitter your heart otherwise.
Yeah, it will. It'll harden your heart.
Thank you, Kathy, for the call. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about those times when you feel used. How do you deal with those situations more effectively so that you can continue to be the generous person that God is calling you to be, but not fall into those traps of being treated as a thing or as a vending machine that's a never-ending source of goodies, but not a person to be treated with love and respect. 877-573-7825, or post your comments at facebook.com/more2liferadio. When we come back, we'll have our Book of the Day drawing for the winner of a copy of Broken Gods, or The Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. We're giving that away every day this week to celebrate the release of the brand new book. So stick around for that coming up, plus some more tips on dealing with those times when you're feeling taken advantage of or used. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. This is More to Life. We'll be back after this.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. Pope John the 23rd called for a new Pentecost in our day, just as the first Pentecost was the foundation for the first missionary impetus of the Church, so the new Pentecost is the foundation for the new evangelization, the renewed missionary effort of the body of Christ. In fact, the new evangelization cannot happen without a new Pentecost. But to live a new Pentecost is to play with fire, because evangelization is about true salvation. It is not about the easy and cultural acceptable path of enrichment. Our God is a holy and awesome God who requires our holiness and trust. Only through life in the Holy Spirit can we model the kingdom and be true missionaries.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
On Putting on the Mind of Christ this week, Dr. Mary Healy talks about our late Holy Father's theology of the body.
The Pope called these reflections theology of the body because the deepest point of what he was saying is that our bodies, in their very design, have a message that comes from God himself. The very design of our bodies tells us something profound about who we are and about who God is. Our bodies hold the clue to the very meaning of our existence, the answers to the deepest questions in life. Who am I? Why am I here? What's true love? How do I find it?
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. Sacred Heart's Dr. Mary Healy contributes to our ongoing coverage of the Archdiocese of Detroit's Saturday Morning Evangelism series. What does the theology of the body have to do with evangelism? Tune in and find out. Listen to Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, we're talking about those times when you feel used or taken advantage of or taken for granted. You know, we try to be generous, and theology of the body reminds us of the importance of being self-donative, of giving what we have to work for the good of others. But sometimes that can result in us being used or treated as a means to an end. How do we deal with those situations with grace and dignity so that we can still be generous, but remind others that we are persons, not things? 877-573-7825.
You know, Greg, I just want to mention very quickly, there are a lot of folks who think that, you know, putting up with this kind of behavior is the holier thing to do. And I really want to talk for a minute about a piece in John chapter 12 where Jesus is having dinner with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Judas is there too. And Mary has already been told by Jesus that she's chosen the better part over Martha, who's up and serving and doing. And then Mary anoints Jesus' feet with very expensive perfume and washes his feet with her hair. And Judas says, no, 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 we should have used that money for the poor. And he says, wait a minute, she's taking care of me. You know, she's loving me. Even Jesus twice says, this person who's attending to me and the person that I am, rather than seeing me as just a savior, just a healer, just a whatever, he's letting us know we need to be treated with love and with dignity. That's okay. It's holy, too.
And with that, let's go to Lana in Flint, Michigan. Welcome to More to Life, Lana. How can we help you out today?
I just wanted to ask another question because you mentioned the anxious attachment style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a book also that you encouraged, Healing the Unaffirmed, and you said if you recognize yourself here, I'd encourage you to work to reach out to us. And I was thinking, well, that's definitely me.
Okay. Well, and so how are you experiencing that in your life?
Probably since birth.
Okay.
I mean, it's just everything. I have, like my own mother doesn't acknowledge me in existence. So it creates problems throughout life when you're that person. So when don't I experience it would be a better question.
I understand. Well, you know, Lana, this tendency to just sort of feel that responsibility for, you know, everything that's wrong in relationships and to twist yourself into knots, you know, it's this unconscious thing that we tend to carry into relationships. And it's important to kind of check that impulse, you know, anytime something's amiss in a relationship, to kind of ask ourselves, you know, am I feeling responsible because I did something, or am I feeling responsible because this is just how I feel, you know, and to start to learn what I can do to make things right and what I shouldn't do or what isn't my responsibility. And that takes some time to learn. And, you know, unfortunately, they're going to kick us out of here right now. So what I want you to do is I'd actually like you to pick up that book, Healing the Unaffirmed, by Conrad Bars and Tarua. But I also want you to get in touch with us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute, through our telephone counseling practice, where we can work with you over time to really help you reclaim your dignity as a person and identify your worth so that you don't have to jump through those hoops anymore and twist yourself into knots to get people to approve of you. And you can recognize your worth and dignity as a daughter of God and have healthy relationships with folks who work for your good and who want you to work for theirs in return. Thank you for the call, Lana. I believe that this is the first step in your journey of healing and recovery. And for those folks who are waiting to find out who's going to win the book today, we're going to give that copy to Julie Honeycutt. Julie, congratulations. You've won a copy of Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life. The life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The stock market.
The world economy.
Interest rates.
Political change.
In a world full of uncertainty, you can find comfort that your investments are in line with your moral beliefs by investing with the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Long-term investors should consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Call toll-free 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on the investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus which includes objectives, risks, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274 or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
The smell of spring is here. Flowers are blooming and trees are blossoming, and God's whole creation is singing in harmony. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during our Drive and Discover event, you will be treated with the dignity and respect you deserve as you choose from over 8 acres of new and certified pre-owned fine automobiles.